Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
An NXT wrestler gets his release, Neville introduces his new gimmick, and what did Brock do on Raw? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is there. Let's get right into the news. So, CJ Perry asks for her release.
You mean CJ Parker?
Oh, CJ Parker. I'm sorry.
CJ Perry is the talented one. CJ Parker is, the who knows one.
The enhancement talent.
Yes. Yeah. This is probably a smart move on his part just because, when you think about it, he had a glass ceiling that he hit a long time ago and he was not going to go anywhere else. And I think it was kind of the same thing with Justin Gabriel. He hit a ceiling and all right, what am I going to do? I guess nothing. So why don't I just leave? So a smart move on his part. He's not going to be missed. It sounds like he did it in the best way possible, though. So I guess if he gets really big elsewhere, then, he has a door open on his return.
Yeah, it's not like he was mean about it or just said a bunch of negative things. He actually asked for his release, worked the Access shows, and then that was it. So he called it, we don't know if it's a career yet, but I'm wondering what's going to happen with him, though. Is he going to continue to wrestle, or is he just done? That's what I'm more curious about right now. But anyway, so hey, if you haven't listened to it yet, make sure you listen to our WrestleMania recap show or wrap up show. I will say, hands down, it might have been the best show we've done.
I would agree. I think it was really great. We had some new guests that were on there and really helped enhance the show itself. So I highly recommend you listen to it as well.
All right. So let's talk some WWE programming for this week. I want to talk about WrestleMania again, but
Well, do you have a little bit of a WrestleMania hangover?
I want to watch the show again, but I don't know if I have that much time. Because here's the thing, I'll just tell you guys right off the bat, I missed the RKO and I have not gone back to watch.
You need to see that.
The
one thing about, so I watched the final match, the main event, which, as I said on our wrap up show, that sometimes in a movie, if the ending is fantastic and the rest of the movie is only OK, it helps make the movie that much better because it's an amazing ending. And the main event was that for me. And I rewatched the main event, having known the outcome, and it was still good. There was still the drama there. And, just to piggyback off what I said on that show, I think Roman Reigns actually even looks better than what I had originally thought. He didn't get quite the crowd reaction on Raw, but I think that, if he keeps up with this pace and he wins the world title, let's say next year, I think that people won't be that mad about it. Or if they are, they're, not going to be, they won't be super mad.
I can't believe that you praised Roman Reigns. Come on.
Here's the thing. I will call the shots as I see them. John Cena is not a very good wrestler, but if I had a company, I would build it around John Cena, hands down. And by the way, I just want to say this, that crowd, thank you so much for chanting, John Cena sucks, John Cena sucks, because, some crowds had been doing that, but the fact that they were doing it was so vocal. I hope that keeps carrying over.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
Let's just talk about in order. We had Brock Lesnar comes out. He asked for his rematch that night, which was, I think, a really smart thing to do. There was a lot of posts I saw about how this was the Raw to watch. And, Lesnar asked for his rematch and it looked like we were going to get it. But then Rollins backed out and Lesnar went berserk, didn't he?
He went nuts. He took everyone out. He took a fake cameraman out. He took Michael Cole out. Thank you. And somehow took out Booker T. I don't get the thing with Booker T, but I thought Lawler was out there too. But
no, he's I forgot not that, the Raw announced.
Right, team. He went to SmackDown, which is is this a good move? So you have Byron Saxton come out, so he gets some Raw exposure. Do you think that actually might help his career out and hurt Michael Cole's?
Well, it would help out if Byron Saxton was worth a damn, but unfortunately he isn't, and he was terrible. Honestly, he. he was officiating or calling certain matches, and he had no emotion in his voice. He's like, oh, and here comes somebody, and here's somebody else. He blew it, in my opinion. Byron Saxton, I would be curious if he's even around in a year.
Really?
That's how bad it was.
See, I think he's okay. You know, watch some NXT. I know you got the network again, so why don't you check out some NXT? And he does a good job on there, I think. And also, he does Superstars, I think. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyways, but yeah, he came out. So how long do you think Cole's going to be out for?
Cole just be out for a week.
Just a week? Because, you know, the F5 on a normie, if you want to call it that, should take him out at least 2 weeks. But, you know, we'll see. But he went nuts after he hit the, you know, F5 the cameraman twice. F5 Michael Cole took out Booker T by flipping the table. I guess that's a new move that'll take Booker T out. Did not know that. I don't even remember who the third guy was. It doesn't matter. Oh, JBL. And he got hurt by the table as well. Huh. Note to self on that one. I thought what did you think of the segment? The segment, okay, yes, the segment was good because with Rollins saying, oh, I'm not going to do it, you know, tonight, blah, blah, blah. Stephanie says, I don't have to. I'm a little jet lagged, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was hilarious. I really thought that was hilarious. And then he walks away, and I thought it would have been funnier if they had, like, Kane or Big Show had to take him on instead. But the way it turned out with him just going nuts and taking people out, I thought it was a good way to have Brock get suspended. Which, you know, the storyline there is that he's going to get suspended. Seth Rollins is going to hold on to the title for a long time. And somehow he's going to lose it to Roman Reigns because I just know that's what they're going to do. And then 1, 2, 3. Because, dude, they're going to have Roman Reigns win Money in the Bank. That's what they're going to do.
I doubt it. And, you know, in my prediction, I said Dean Ambrose, and I still think that that's accurate. This segment, though, I do want to say I think that this was a great piggyback off of the main event because it felt real. And that was the thing. Like, Brock Lesnar really makes the wrestling feel real. And so kudos to WWE for that. You know, amazing job all around. Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, Lesnar, Stephanie. It was great. And this is a good way to get rid of him for, you know, until SummerSlam, because what will probably end up happening, I'm going to just kind of call this, Seth Rollins is going to hold on to the title until SummerSlam. And then I think something's going to happen where Seth Rollins takes off the authority and they say, fine, you know what? We are going to have a rematch from WrestleMania. And then you're going to have Brock Lesnar come back. He's going to take down Seth Rollins. Lesnar will have the title again. And then I think he could even hold that until WrestleMania again. So we may see a repeat where Lesnar won the title at SummerSlam last year. He's going to win it again this year, and he's going to hold it until WrestleMania. So I honestly think that could happen again.
What do you think about Sting leaving the door open a little bit? He on the WWE Network, there was an exclusive interview with him and Renee Young. Which, funny thing about that, if you watch the very, the beginning of the segment, Roman Reigns was not happy that they had to go to the back. And Randy Orton just did this thing. He's like, all right, time to go in the back. And Orton was like, it's one of the things you got to watch.
Well, so there was a bigger plan in place here because I think Sting is very prideful. I don't think Sting would come back and have Vince say, you know, oh, hey, not only did I pluck you from obscurity, but we're going to have Triple H beat you. We're going to have finally WWE is going to beat WCW. I don't think that was the case. There's something bigger here. And I think that Sting is going to have a match somewhere down the road. Maybe it's at SummerSlam. You know, maybe it's at next year's WrestleMania. But there is a bigger plan in place here. I'm not sure what it is yet because big guys that he's going to face, the only one I can think of is Triple H and Undertaker. You know, I can't think of any other ones, really. Maybe he'd take on Kane. Maybe. That's not a dream match, though. Taker is from 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. I'm not, you know, going to make any speculation yet on that. I do want to ask you about Sheamus returning, though. So he made a pretty big impact here. Came out at the end of Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler's match after Wade Barrett comes and interferes. And then he took him out. He took out Daniel Bryan and Ziggler. So Sheamus is back as a heel. He's got a mohawk. He's got some braids in his beard. What did you think of the new look and what did you think of his actions?
You look stupid. Sorry. The crowd there was basically said what I thought. He does look kind of dumb. But he comes back basically as a monster heel. I think they're going to push him big time. I'm assuming it's going to be him and Dan O'Brien, or maybe you may throw Bad News Barrett in the mix as well, because he would want his rematch, and you know it's going to be at Extreme Rules. But Dan O'Brien's not an Extreme Rules guy. I mean, he'll do it, but you know, I remember him at one point when they were talking to him about that. He said, "I don't like doing those matches. I like to do the long, drawn out matches." Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, but maybe you have Wade Barrett and well, you know, I bet you're going to throw Dolph in there as well. So you may have Dan O'Brien, and you may do a tag match. Anyways, I'm like booking.
No, you know what? Here's what I book right now. Well, here's my guess. Wade Barrett probably is going to have some sort of rematch, but Sheamus is going to be in there as well. So Ziggler will probably be in there. It'll probably be a fatal four-way is my guess. He'll probably have a fatal four-way for the IC title. You know, depending on what type of fatal four-way they do, if it's elimination or first to pin, or if it's a tag one, you know, we're going to see something is going to happen. Either way, you know, I think that we could have a pretty good match here if that's the way that they go.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm glad that now they're starting to do the feud with Miz and Sandow, but I almost wish that this to me could have been big. And I think that they are pulling the trigger late. I think that this should have been pulled right at Fastlane. I think that Miz and Sandow should have been going at it, throw it on the pre-show at least, and I believe that they could have put on an awesome match. And plus the crowd would be hot for these guys. Because mm-hmm. the crowd is behind Sandow like you wouldn't believe. And people people like The Miz, but it's one of those things where I think pulling it now, you can do that because the Raw afterwards, no matter what, you have people who watch the network all the time. They know what NXT is. I mean, it shows with one of the wrestlers getting called up. But it showed they were hot. They want this. They want that. I wish that this would have been a WrestleMania match.
So I disagree with you, and here's why. A lot of times WWE rushes storylines, and they do a terrible job with it. And I think that this was a really good example where they drew it out long enough to make us care, but to make us wonder, when is this going to happen? And I pretty much could have told you at WrestleMania, this is when it'll happen. And it did. And that's fine. You know, I mean, just because something's predictable doesn't mean it's bad. And Sandow turns on Miz as expected. And now we're going to have a pretty nice long drawn out feud. In fact, this is probably going to be something that's going to happen over the course of 2 to 3 months, which is a good thing. Because if Miz and Sandow can help elevate a mid-card feud, it'll help both of them get over. And then guess what? They could both go for the IC title. They could both go for the US title. You know, that's a really big deal. And that's something that will help elevate them, help sell tickets. And it's another story that you want to see, another match that you want to see. And that's the main thing. That's the whole point of this. So I disagree with you. And I think that they are doing a great job with this right now.
Okay. So what did you think about, by the way, the W Network numbers with 1.3 million?
Was it 1.3?
Yeah.
I think that's really great. You know, something that I don't think that it's been talked about on here, but I had bought a couple of shares, 10 shares total in WWE stock. And I did it just because I thought, oh, you know, I'll put my money where my mouth is. You know, I really like WWE. And as a shareholder, you get to vote on things. So, for example, I got a pamphlet in the mail saying, would you like to vote for these people to be on the board next year? So I get to vote for Triple H, Vince, and Steph. I mean, which is kind of cool. You know, it's 10 shares. It's nothing. So, you know, they don't sway what I feel about them. And as you can tell, if you've ever listened to the show, I just speak my mind, you know. So,
but funny thing, you should tell the story about your shares. You got it at like $10, if I'm correct.
And yeah, then it was 10 to 11, and now it's at about 14. So, you know, I mean, it went up a little bit, but it's not like it's nothing significant, you know.
No, but you're mad because it went down like 20 cents. You're like, oh, if I would just wait another day, and then it skyrocketed up. You're like, yeah.
It's like, oh, smart move on my part.
Yeah,
not that I'm even selling them or anything. But
speaking of people coming up, Adrian Neville, or Neville now, came up and he debuted his, in quotes, Mighty Mouse theme. I was happy to see this because even though Axel could be considered enhancement talent, he's going to wrestle at Extreme Rules with Adrian Neville, I believe, because I think this feud is going to keep going.
Well, it's actually Neville is how they're pronounced.
Neville, I'm sorry. Yeah. I keep calling it Neville. Anyways.
Yeah, no. And you're fine. Yeah, no. They're calling him Neville. They got rid of Adrian, which probably was a smart thing. I actually think that, first of all, I'm going to just come out and say it. I think Neville is a terrible name. I understand the change from Pac, and I completely understand that Pac is not necessarily a marketable name. So, I get that. But Neville is a terrible, terrible name. And they need to come up with something better for him. He had an impressive match. You know, people get to see the Red Arrow. So if you are not a, typical viewer of NXT, you got to see something really cool. And I think that, unfortunately, I think he's going to get lost in the shuffle, though. I think that he's impressive, but I think he will get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, we were talking about right before we started recording the show that he's one of those guys that he's great when he was over in England. But he's one of those guys where he's small, but he's perfect at everything he does. Every move that he does, it's perfection. It reminds me of the Usos. Usos are not sloppy wrestlers, and neither is Neville. Neville. he is not sloppy. But the thing is, that can only take you so far because Curtis Axel is not sloppy. But that's the thing. By the way, how tall do you think Curtis Axel is? Just,
I would guess he's 6 foot, 6'1".
6'3".
Wow.
Because when Snoop Dogg was next to him, they were pretty much almost eye to eye. And Snoop Dogg's 6'4", which I was surprised because I thought he was 6'6". And then I thought Curtis Axel was like 6 foot, 5'11". I didn't realize he was that tall. So kudos to him. But yeah, so Neville getting called up, I'm happy for it. I just, like you said, I really hope he doesn't get lost in the shuffle and wrestle on Superstars in 3 weeks. Oh, crap. I just wrote them a storyline. All right. So Orton versus Rollins is going to happen at Extreme Rules. They set this up. This was something interesting. And remember, I think I said at one point on our WrestleMania wrap-up show, I remember saying something that they're going to have him and Orton wrestle at Extreme Rules because they already set up his feud. And it was pretty much right in front of our face the entire time that, hey, Orton's going to fight for the title and it's going to happen over the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of excited about this now because you guys talking about the RKO out of nowhere, I'm wondering if he's going to try something like that again and then get curb stomp instead and then maybe end the feud that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually excited for this match.
I think that this is really good. We're going to, as Roger had talked about on our WrestleMania show, having Orton win was a very smart move because guess what? It sets up a, these two going at it later on. And when I did the, our prediction show, I picked Rollins cause I thought it would help make him look stronger when he won the title. They went a different route, which isn't bad, and if anything else, it actually works out in their favor. Cause guess what? Orton Rollins now is your main event for Extreme Rules in Chicago, where they're going to be very pro Rollins because it's, 3 hours away from his hometown. And, Orton is a WWE guy, so they're going to be very anti-Orton, but it's still going to be really great. I wonder what type of match they're going to have. I don't think they announced it yet, but either way, it's going to be a good match.
Oh, man, what's going to happen if AJ Lee wins the Divas title in Chicago?
CM Punk chance.
Lots of CM Punk chance or just maybe a little bit here?
There'll be quite a few.
By the way, why did they drown out Chance at Raw?
They did not want the crowd to take over the show.
They did, though. I don't know what happened with Sting because I didn't understand. They said that they were chanting Undertaker and then the entire time he was talking, but then all of a sudden it disappeared slowly. I don't get what the big deal about that was because you could have had, it's the network. You decide how long the time is. Sting could have stayed out there longer. I just didn't like the fact that Sting was out there and then Bo Dallas runs out and then, Scorpion Death Drop. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but yeah, so Cena versus Rusev is going to happen also at Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of excited about this. But I've seen it now. I've seen them wrestle. I think I'm done with this.
It's the third time wrestling. So, you know, we're going to, I guess, get a conclusion to this. Cena's going to win. So, you know, it is that is what it is. I don't think that they need to have a third match, or if they do, I think that it needs to be over. I think you need to move Rusev onto something else. I don't know who you would have him feud with. Obviously, there's a lot of people that you could, but they've really built Rusev up as being a main eventer. So do you can't move him on to Rollins, because obviously Rollins is, you know, a heel himself. Do you move him on to Daniel Bryan maybe? But if you do, you realize that Daniel Bryan, you know, will need to get a win over him, you know. And so are you going to allow Rusev to get these massive losses now? So I'm not sure what they're going to do with him now going forward. That's the biggest problem that I have.
Yeah, that's not my biggest problem. My biggest problem is end it. There's a point where we just need to end a feud, and this is it. I wanted to ask, I keep thinking of new stuff for WrestleMania. I don't know why, but did you know that there's four people who had big entrances, but only one of them won? Do you know who that guy is?
Wait, say that one more time.
There were four big entrances, as in they had a big production, and then only of the four, only one person won. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, Triple H.
Exactly. So Sting had one, Bray had one, and Rusev had one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, at least, you know, I'll give Bray credit. He had a really bad, he had a horrible sprained ankle, so I'm glad that he was able to make that match look good. But anyways, I still am going after WrestleMania, because thinking about it more and more, it was a good show. So I don't know why I keep bringing it up, but it was that good. Check our recap show out. We had some great guests on there. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top. Save big on items from WWEShop.com. And you can also pick up your good KO shirt, which nobody knows what that means, because they're like, what's KO mean? Anyways, so Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
I did, yeah. I skipped over a couple of small things because they just weren't, it wasn't doing it for me. I skipped over part of the Bushwhacker speech, and then also the NJPW gentleman. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But I skipped over their speeches. Everything else, though, I watched. The problem was, though, man, it was a hassle to watch all that. It was 4 hours long.
Well, if you include the red carpet, it was four hours and 52 minutes and
yeah,
change.
5 hours, right? You know, right. You don't need it to be that long. It's a Hall of Fame. It is not where you have to cram as many people as possible into it. I'm not saying that they're not all deserved to be in there. Medusa's speech was really great. The Warrior stuff was also really nice. The only minor thing I would say with the Warrior stuff, though, is that you had Jerry Lawler introduce Dana Warrior, who introduced Daniel Bryan, who introduced, Connor's father. And I just felt like that was too much, you know, like that you probably could have done without that. But, you know, the rest of the stuff was really good. Macho Man's thing should have been longer. Diesel's thing should have been longer. You know, Alundra Blaze was great.
It's not Diesel, remember?
Yeah, Kevin Nash
threw a fit, and that's why he went in as Kevin Nash, because he can say he owns Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm sorry.
Either way, but yeah, and Alundra Blaze, you know, Medusa's, hers was really great. I thought that her speech was, I was very surprised. I didn't think it would be that good of a speech, but it was really good. And Rikishi's speech was terrible. He was on there way too long. He should have been on there for five less minutes. And his sons, as much as I like the Usos, they also needed to give a smaller introduction. So the Hall of Fame next year, I know that there have been talks that Off the Mark may have some field correspondence there at WrestleMania 32, potentially, in which case we would be at the Hall of Fame ceremony. I really hope that they have two or three less people in there, because a Hall of Fame, 3 hours, in my opinion. I think 3 hours would have been totally fine. Wouldn't have fast-forwarded through much or any, really. But they didn't need to do as much as what they did. At least that's my opinion. I don't know. Maybe you have a different one.
I believe the total number going in is 8. And the reason why I say 8 is because you'll have the Warrior Award, which is fine. And then I think you should have a behind the scenes award that they don't go up there and they have a speech or anything, but you give them a ring because they deserve it. There's the guy who was not the ring announcer, but he rang the bell for him, and then he was with the company for like 30 years and they let him go. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but like not have him come out and do a speech because no one knows who he is, but behind the scenes, give him a ring. You give the Warrior Award, and then you have six guys go in, and that's it. But you just have the seven people talk, and you just give that one ring to the person just so he has it. Because there's, like I said, there's some people behind the scenes that did a lot of stuff for the WWE, but that they don't get their credit. But that's just my opinion on the Hall of Fame. Nine is a lot. Was it nine plus the Warrior Award, or was it eight and the Warrior Award?
That might have been nine plus the Warrior Award.
They fell asleep. Zbyszko was good if you could edit out all of his long pauses.
Yeah.
It was good, but and also every time he repeated something, like I do all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So how much time do you think you invested into the Hall of Fame?
3 hours probably. Like and you know, way too much. Like that's the problem. I would have enjoyed it a lot more if it was shorter. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's the way I feel. They should trim it down. They should make it more about certain people, because the problem with this year's Hall of Fame, Macho Man was a big deal going in, but the headliner technically was Kevin Nash, which he didn't get announced until the week before that, you know, and then you had all these random people that if you were a casual wrestling fan, you probably would know Rikishi. You probably would. You're not going to know Larry Zbyszko. You're not going to know the Bushwhackers. You may know Medusa, maybe. You know, you'll know Macho Man and you'll know Kevin Nash. So putting in all of these people, it doesn't make it that much more special. It actually takes away from it. You know, less is more. And they talk about the WWE style of wrestling where less is more. Yet in the Hall of Fame, it's like, hey, we got to get everybody in as soon as possible. You know, I really think that they need to hold back next year. I really think that, you know, you do five, six people and that will be the sweet spot. Other than that, though, it was nice.
Next week's weekly topic. Let's do that. Let's say we're going to pick our WrestleMania people or the Hall of Fame people that we want in, because I think that would be actually pretty interesting, you know, to have like, because like you, if you had to pick six people, as in like, of the six, you can say like, well, one's a tag team. Well, they don't count as two. It just counts as one. But I think it'd be interesting if we actually went through and I said, this is our Hall of Fame. So, yeah, let's do that next week. So with it being, like I said, and I had my friend Dave, he was also on our wrap up show. He was on and he fell asleep during Zbyszko's speech. And the only reason he woke up is because I said, Dave. He's like, huh? He like jumped a little bit. He's like, oh, he's still talking. But yeah, let's cut it down to six, and then with the Warrior Award, and then behind the scenes award, and then that person never appears. But I think two and a half hours is what it really should be, three at the most.
Yeah, but I agree. Well, and when you figure Raw is 3 hours, you know, which, you know, obviously we could do a whole show where we think that Raw should be really 2 hours, and you know, pay per views are three, WrestleMania is four, Hall of Fame should be 2.5 to 3. I totally agree with you.
My also beef is with Rikishi because he never mentioned Too Cool.
Yeah.
Scotty Too Hotty or Grandmaster Sexay. That really upset me because think about it this way. Rikishi was there. Let's just put it that way. He was there. And then he got popular because of Too Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why not bring them up? Why? Like, I know he wants his sons to introduce him. That's fine. But not why not say, I want those guys there because I'm going to point them out because they help you know my career out. But instead, he has to talk about how Rusev is one of his students that were trained properly and blah, blah, and like talk about his wrestling school. That's fine. But the reason why I know Rikishi and when he got popular is because of Too Cool. So that was my beef. And then Scotty Too Hotty actually said something about it. And I agree with that, too. I think that him saying something actually, I wish Rikishi would come out and like just on Twitter be like, yes, I forgot to mention these guys. I am so sorry about it, blah, blah, blah. If he did that, no beef. I think it would have been squashed, but whatever. Anyway, so I'm surprised that Raw did the numbers it did. That's the highest I've seen Raw, and I think it's 3 years. That's the highest it's ever been. Are you surprised about that?
Not at all. You know, when you have an amazing pay-per-view, you have a lot of buzz on social media, a lot of buzz, people just talking about it in general. You know, you're going to have high numbers. And it was the number two cable show behind the Justin Bieber roast, which is expected. You know, that was a, you know, of course, a star-studded affair. So people are going to tune into that. But Raw still did really good numbers. And I think it was the best in the past 3 years. So, I mean, good for them.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it. This week, actually, because it was a long week with all the wrestling, I'm actually happy about it. So, by the way, hypothetically, let's say we decide to go to Dallas. And, of course, we hit, you know, Ring of Honor on Friday, Hall of Fame on Saturday, WrestleMania on Sunday, and then Raw on Monday. Do we stay for SmackDown on Tuesday?
No, that's way too much.
That's travel day, then?
Yeah, that's travel day.
All right. Hey, I just want to I've said it a couple times, and I know Aaron said it a couple times, but you got to check out our record-breaking show of this from this past Monday morning. It was, I would say, probably the best show we've ever done. We had some great guests. We had Doug Hahn, our senior field correspondent. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had David Pate on the show as well. And then we had Roger Cave. It's his first time being on the show as well. And of course, Aaron and myself. But yeah, so I'm really excited about the show. So thanks for everyone to tuning in and listening to it. And make sure you download and maybe listen to it a couple more times. So anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AllTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.